spirituality takes care of itself. School of the Master, Seminar 7. Spirituality takes care of itself. What do we mean by saying spirituality takes care of itself? Doesn't spirituality have to be something that we apply, something that we look for, something that we put to work in our life? Doesn't spirituality mean that it's another direction, humanists or spirituality or being in a relative world or spirituality? What does spirituality mean? Well, spirituality does not mean anything. Spirituality is everything. Spirituality is the allness of our life. Spirituality is the only way that we have any existence at all. We do not exist as a human being, much as we think we do. We do not exist as a relative person. Thinking that we exist as a relative person is just the theater that we're in. Have you gone to the movie? Have you gone? It interests me, many of these multi-theaters, the maxi-theaters, you go to a movie house, since movies are not the biggest drawing card in the world right now, and people go to be entertained by a movie, and they go into one movie, and they see in the movie house at least six or seven other movies. They can go to any movie they want. And if they want to, they pay their fee to go to the movie. And as they pay their fee to go to the movie, then what happens to them? When they pay the fee to go to the movie, they go into that theater. They go into that large auditorium, and there's seven auditoriums in one building, and each one holding maybe 200 or 300 people, and usually having about maybe 50 or 60 people in it. And each auditorium has a different film. It has a different movie going on in it, because the diversity of people is more demanding. They want to go to these different movies. So spirituality is like that movie theater. Spirituality is all the theaters, all seven movie houses in one building. And you can go to any one of the movies in the movie house and see it. In fact, you can go one and right after the other. Or you can own the theater and show them continuously and show new ones all the time. But what's happening? What's taking place? What's taking place is somebody else's view of life is being shown. Someone else's view of the world is being shown. They have Mary Poppins, or they have Peter Pan, or they have the violence movies that are available, and somebody else's beautiful multi-million dollar production of their show is being shown. And you go in there, and the fanfare is glorious. You're invited in there to think that this is real, this is important, this is vital, and you think that's what reality is. But if there were not a movie, if there were not a projector, if there were not the director and the actors, if there were not the idea in the author's mind who wrote the story, and if the idea in the author's mind was not rewritten a dozen times by the scriptwriters of the movie, you wouldn't see what you see. So what you're seeing maybe 100, maybe more, people's idea of what they think that event was. Now, my goodness. The director says, well, let's leave certain events out because they're not going to be as compelling to the audience. let's put in other adventures that are more compelling to the audience. Have nothing to do with the show, but more compelling to the audience, because we want to get the audience money, the audience attention. We want to say that this movie brought in $300 million, and it cost us $200 million to produce, or something like that. And they have all these criteria for how their show is. Now, spirituality doesn't have that sort of criteria. Spirituality is the total picture. It's the total picture of life. It's the total picture of living. And in it are the many little vignettes, the many little theaters, the many little stories. We have friends, Susan and Randy and Lala Barnes down in Belize. And whenever Susan writes a story about her adventures for the past week, it sounds just like a grand movie. It sounds wonderful. And you sort of live it along with it. You live the movie along with her writing of it. And you think, gee, that sounds good. And then you think to yourself, I wonder what time they brushed their teeth. I wonder what they had for supper. I wonder, did they have the condiments on the table? I wonder, did they have guests over? Did they have friends over? I wonder, did they go out for a walk in the evening? I wonder what time they went to bed. Now, you see, those are all parts of the script. Now, are they the compelling parts of the script that are going to cause people to have an interest in the movie? Not really. You see, all those things are left out. Now, in spirituality, in the allness, all those things are included, because all those things are very much part of the total picture. Spirituality takes care of itself, because it is the allness. It is the wholeness. It is the fullness. Now, if I were to say my spirituality is my movie theater, and in my movie theater I show 7, 10, 12 different movies at one time, because I have to maintain the interest of my people who come in to see the movies, what sort of movies am I going to have? I'm going to have movies that don't mean a thing. I'm going to have movies that go into areas that people would rather forget. Movies about tragedy, movies about comedy, movies about growing experiences, movies about growing up, movies about getting old, movies about dying, movies about health, movies about sickness. And in my spirituality, those things are all there. They're in the allness, just like I have explained so many times to myself. The allness has everything, what we call good and bad, and whatever we want to draw upon, we may draw upon. And if we want to draw upon our spirituality, most people think that's good. Your spirituality is something fine and dandy. Your spirituality is something uplifting. Your spirituality is something beautiful. But is it? Is it really? Your spirituality is when you're cleaning your toenails. Your spirituality is when you're cutting your fingernails. Your spirituality is when you're powdering your face. Your spirituality is when you take your bath, or when you sit down at the table and you put the napkin in your lap. Your spirituality is all these billions and billions and billions of things which you don't pay any attention to, which you have no awareness of, because they're just there and just happening. You're in this house of yours, which you call your spirituality, in which you have all these movies going on, which some movies you would never watch yourself, and yet you show them for other people. Some movies you would never allow your family to see because they're so horrific. And other movies, they're so delightful, you want everyone to see. And everyone isn't in the mood for seeing delightful Disney movies. People want what they want. Now, what people want is an indication of our spirituality. What people want for themselves is an indication of the people's individual spirituality. Okay, you see. Well, now that's an interesting approach. Spirituality will take care of itself. That's true. Spirituality is everything. Now, what do you choose from spirituality? Spirituality is life. Spirituality is death. Spirituality is wholeness. Spirituality is sickness. Now, what do you choose from spirituality? Because you can have your whole life in paradise. You can have your whole life just living in the what you call the qualities, the high qualities of spirituality. You can have your whole life living in happiness, in bliss. You can have your whole life living in the fulfillment of every dream, every illusion, every desire of your consciousness. You can have your whole life do that. But you don't do that. You don't do that. You don't do that because you get sidetracked. Oftentimes, we get sidetracked by the movies that are going on in our inner consciousness, the movies that are going on in our outer world, the movies that are from our inner to our outer broadcast. We get attracted to these illusions, to these illustrations, and we think they're things we have to see. Now, we watched a movie last night, and the movie was Second Chances, and the movie was a charming movie. It was a family movie. Now, in the movie, they could have shown tragedy, tragedy, tragedy. Now, the movie starts out with a tragedy in which the father is killed in a car accident, and the daughter is injured, and the mother comes out okay. Well, they could have showed you the car crashing and all the ugliness of the car crash, but they didn't. They had the movie announcements coming on, and the car crashed. You heard the car in the background crashing, and you knew that it crashed. And then they had the people coming to help in the crash, the policemen, the firemen, so forth, and they found all the participants. And they didn't make a big tragedy out of it. They didn't make a big tragedy out of it. The little girl played the part fairly well. She was okay, but she was not a convincing character. She was not a convincing character. The actions she did were convincing, but she wasn't convincing in so far as she participated in those actions. Those actions were participated by the writer. Those actions were participated by the screen people who decide how it's going to look. And they wanted the little girl to look good all the time, even though she did naughty things occasionally, because they had reasons for her doing naughty things. Well, she basically was written up as a good person. She basically was written up as a healthy and a nice person. She basically was written up as a desirable young lady. And they had a crutch for her, and the crutch was too short. What it tried to do was to make her bend over to the crutch, but she wouldn't bend over. She carried the crutch around like she was walking perfectly all the time and standing up. So in that illusion, she missed the boat. But we were judging. We were judging as we saw that. We were judging as we saw many things in the movie. But the general theme of the movie was good. The general theme of the movie was everybody had tragedies in their life, and everyone has a second chance. Everyone has a second chance to forget the past and come out the winner now. Well, that is a movie that was okay, but it's not one that I'd watch a second time. And it's not one that I'd recommend to anybody, because there are too many imperfections in it. Too many things in it that show that it's a B-grade movie, where it didn't have the right type of people guiding its production. Now, do you have the right type of people in you guiding the production of your life? Do you have the right type of people in you guiding your spirituality? Do I? Do I have the right type of people in me guiding my spirituality, showing me the pathway that is going to be the most harmonious for me to go? Well, what is it that I want out of life? Do I want to go and look at movies that are naughty, movies that are harmful, movies that are violent? Or do I want to look at movies that are gentle and loving and uplifting? How can they have movies that are gentle, uplifting, and delightful when people want the other? Well, they do it. They produce them. They have less of a budget to produce them, but they produce them. And because they have less of a budget, sometimes the reality of it fails a little bit. Now, how is your spirituality? Your spirituality is in everything. Your spirituality is everything. Now, do you allow yourself ever to say, I don't feel good? Do you allow yourself ever to say, I'm sick? Do you allow yourself ever to say, will I ever figure this out? Do you allow yourself ever to think that nobody's cooperating with you? Do you allow yourself ever to think that the world has let you down? Do you allow yourself ever to think that maybe it'd be just soon stop the world and get off? It's just not that much fun anymore. Do you allow yourself ever to think that? Well, if you do, what you are doing, you are creating yourself as a very weak, that's the best word, a very weak person. You don't really know what you want. I say to you, here are two tables. On one table is gold and precious rings and diamonds and things. And on the other table is stacks of money. Now, you want both. But which table would you take if you had to make a choice? Would you take the table with money or the table with all the objects? Now, you say, well, is the money more than the objects? Or are the objects more than the money? Which is the greater value? Well, are you going to spend your time selling the precious things to make money? Are you going to spend your time enjoying the precious things and not having the money to enjoy? Or are you going to take the money and go and buy whatever you want? Well, if I sell it now, I know how to barter. I know how to get people to give me the best dollar for whatever. Is that what you want to do? Is that what you want to do, be a barter? Or do you want to have the infinite abundance available to you right now to use any way you like? And if you were to go to that infinite abundance and put a match to it and burn it, what sort of attitude would you have? Would you think that that's all there is? That you're only going to be given that infinite abundance once? You're only going to be given that infinite amount of money one time, and you think that that's what it's all about? If that's what you think, what's going to happen? That's what's going to happen. No. You have spirituality within you, and you have the material world here. There are two things, the spiritual world and the material world. Now, the spiritual world includes everything. The material world includes everything too, but you got to dig through it to find it. What would you put as your priority for yourself? How would you put as a priority for yourself being at all times your highest and best, or enjoying life as you go along? Learning how to ride a horse, learning how to fall off a horse, learning how to stay on a horse, learning how to ride on an elephant, you know, learning how to do it. What's all that about? If your spirituality is your primary goal, and you say, I know that I know that I know, you know how to ride on a horse. You know how to ride on a horse. You know, like my son, he was sort of born in the saddle of flying airplanes. He knows the compass, he knows the direction, he knows how to fly perfectly. Now, whenever his attention gets diverted, as it did once or twice, he had an incident. And it was not a nice incident. And why did it happen to him? He who is so one-pointed, he is so natural, he allowed his attention to be diverted for just a minute. And when he allowed his attention to be diverted, then all of his naturalness in doing things faded away. If you're flying in a plane, in a light airplane, and the engine quits, and the pilot drops dead, and there you are floating in the air, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to make sure the pilot's not got his foot on any controls or got his hand on any controls. And then you're going to just sit there and pray and say, I'm landing perfectly. And then the plane comes landing perfectly because you don't know how to land it. You had no lessons in flying. You have no idea how to fly. And so the plane gently comes in and lands. Maybe it lands in a tree, or it lands in a bush, or it lands in a ditchy field. But if you really are just letting go and letting the divine, you will land on a smooth place, and you will land perfectly. And you will walk away from the flight. True, your pilot passed away, but that's another story. You will have come in landing the plane perfectly without touching the wheel, without doing anything to it, letting it land itself, because that's its nature to land. It's its nature to take off when the wind is right. It's its nature to land when the wind is right. And when you're coming in for a gliding landing, it's its nature to land perfectly. It's the nature of your spirituality to always be there to guide you through every experience you choose to have. And you can choose to have experiences that are challenging as can be, that just use every bit of your pluck to get you through it. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. When we have a little child, and we train this little child to say, I'm a genius. I know that I know that I know. I do everything right. I am perfect. I am divine. Now, you say, yeah. The little kid's going to have a big ego. He's going to have a big head. No, he isn't. The little kid is going to be listening to the divine within. The little kid is going to be tuning in to his spirituality. He'll be tuning in to his allness. And as he tunes into his allness, this will be his naturalness. This will be who he is every day of his life, every moment of his life. And he will only create experiences that are good and beautiful in his life. Because remember, all that is first is within us. All that is in our world first is within us. Now, if you're living as a spiritually illumined person, then you can be sure that all that you are revealing is wonderful and good. All that the little child will be revealing throughout his entire life will be wonderful and good, because the little child believes and knows that he is illumined. He knows he is divine. He knows he is good. Can he do that? Sure. Does he want to do that? Sure. Will he do that? Sure. But he has to be careful what kinds of movies he shows in his movie theater. He has to be very careful what kind of things amuse him, what kind of things attract him. Does he like violence? Does he like excitement? Is the world too dull? The world is only dull to people who are not living. They want the livingness to be outside of themselves. They don't want, if you say to a person, okay, let's go watch the ski lifts. Let's go watch the skiing. And they say, oh, that's dull. Okay, let's go skiing. Oh boy, Sure. Now, do you know how to ski? No. Well, should we learn how to ski first before we go skiing? I want to ski. Well, that's not going to be very satisfying, because you may learn naturally how to ski, but if you have a little help, it doesn't hurt. So you have a little guidance from people who know how to ski, and you say, yes, that's the way I feel about it. That's the way I feel. I move this way and I move that way, and I learn how to move on the skis comfortably and be always in control and always upright and always in the master balance. And it's a wonderful thing, you know. So then, as you do that, then that becomes dull. Anything you know becomes dull, and that's an interesting thing to do. The reason that people get themselves off track so often, the reason that people feel life is dull and life is not exciting, is because people are relying on other people to make life exciting. Now, I'm going to take you to the theater, and we're going to watch a skydiving movie where people jump out of an airplane and they float down in their parachute. Or we're going to have skydiving where you jump out of an airplane and you have your glider chute, where your chute glides and you move like a hang glider through the sky. And we're going to do that. Now, you are a master at paragliding. You're a master at that. And you glide through the sky just so beautifully, so wonderfully. And then you land. And people say, hooray, hooray, hooray. What a wonderful show you put on. And you say, okay, it's dull. Because you haven't done anything new. So the next time you go up, you start doing inversions. You start doing twists and turns. You start making it do all the things it can. And the people down below say, what is that person trying to do? Are they trying to crash? Are they trying to kill themselves? Why are they acting so strangely with their paragliding? You know, why are they doing that? That seems so improper to do. Why are they doing that? And then pretty soon, the thought of the people on the ground gets to you. And you are no longer secure in what you're doing, even though you're secure. The man on the tightrope, he has made himself completely deaf and insensitive to the crowd below. He's made himself insensitive to the whoo, ha, whee, because if he were sensitive to it, it would bother his balance. It would bother his wonderful control of walking across the wire, not just his bare feet, so to speak. He must have tough feet, but he does that perfectly, but he is insensitive to it. Now, Caesar, our dog whisperer, is planning on a new program for himself, and he wants to call it a movement. Now, I think he could have chosen a better word. But if you're going to have a movement, it's like the Save the Whale movement. It's like Save the Earth movement. It's something which is a negative experience. A movement to a better training of your dogs, better control of your dogs. You might say a love movement, but love is not a movement. What would you say that Caesar could call his program where he is teaching and training how to work with dogs and how to handle dogs and how to be the leadership training program in dogs? What word could he use? Well, think about it. The words that we use are very significant in how we observe our life. Now, if you say to your mother, Mom, we're going to the theater. And mother says, oh, you're going to a very classy show. You're going to a very upscale show. And then you say to your mom, Mom, we're going to the ballet. Oh, you're going to the ballet. How lovely. Mom, we're going to the concert. Oh, great. We're going to the rock concert. Oh, well, that's interesting. Mom, we're going to whatever you're going to. Mom, we're going to the rodeo. Every event that you put a name on draws with it certain attitudes by people who are thinking of it and you. When you think of the rodeo, you think of the tough cowboys that are riding horses that try to throw them, and they're roping bulls and things like that. When you think of the opera, you think of people on stage singing. Now, when you think of the opera, it can be beautiful, but what are they singing about? They're very, singing very sad type songs. Very sad. Now, is that a movement that you would like to propitiate, that you would like to develop? Now, when you go to the show, when you're going to the show could be good. But the thing is, the show usually includes everything. It includes any type of movie that you can imagine, good, bad, and indifferent. When you choose a name for yourself, like movement, like Caesar is choosing, what is he doing? He's limiting the possibilities of what he's doing. If he would say of the work that he's doing that this is the master training class, well, what a nice uplifting program, and everyone would feel very comfortable about that. This is but a movement. We're having a movement into following the rules, into whatever. No. This is a school of wisdom, a school of dog wisdom, a school of leader, pack leader wisdom, the pack leader school. Now, see, all of those things are a highly uplifting type of thing. And so when you say spirituality takes care of itself, you're saying spirituality is that high uplifting attitude, that high uplifting thing that is so powerful and so wonderful. Now, where are you on this scale of things? Where am I on at the school of the master here with the thought about spirituality? Where am I in spirituality? Do I want to be a spiritually illumined being? That'll never happen. I can never be a spiritually illumined being unless I already am one. And if I already am one, why do I want to be one? It's that I don't recognize it, that I don't see it going on in my life. I don't see it going on in who I am. And because I don't see it going on in who I am, I don't experience it. Now, in the show Eureka, the sheriff is living in a bunker that's rather modern and rather beautiful and nice, but limiting in certain ways. And at one point, the sheriff had an interesting situation at his home, and they wanted to get out of the house. And they couldn't get out the front door. And so they turned to the young man who had designed the house, and they said, "Where is the back door? Did you design a back door in here?" And he said, "I forgot. I didn't even think of that. No, I didn't design a back door in here." Well, now, everybody just expected, okay, if we are locked in here and can't get out, then we'll go out the back door. Well, what did it all turn around to? They were locked in there because their emotions had established an idea of abandoning the building. And the consciousness, which was the building, did not want to be abandoned. And so that consciousness locked the door. Not because it wanted to hurt anybody or anything, but it did not want to be abandoned. Now, we have that same idea that goes on within us. We have this house. our body, our temple here. And we don't want to be abandoned. We don't want to die. We don't want to be sick. We don't want to have limitation. And so we think we're protecting it by saying that we're making it, all the medicines in the world and all the things that are keeping us whole and well. Are we doing that? Not at all. What we're doing is we're going against ourselves. We're going against ourselves. Why is it that certain cells of the body destroy healing cells that are put into the body? Why do they do that? Because it's contrary to their nature. It's contrary to the nature of the cells of the body to have this other cell, which is not a normal cell, in the body. And so the body kills that cell, but also kills many others. And this happens so often. Now, what can we do? That's living in the humanness. That's living in the limitation. Whenever we're faced with a circumstance where we want to have some way to come through this circumstance, we want to develop our spirituality. We want to be aware of our spirituality. We want to live it in our life so that we are living all of the beauty that life can offer to us and all the beauty that life is. What we do is we begin to say, I like me. The feeling of abandonment goes away. I like me. And when we say, I like me, our spirituality says, ho, 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 this is a great place to be. And that's what it says. And when we say, I like me, our mind sighs. Our brain says, okay, our eyes are clearer. Our voice is clearer. Everything about us is more beautiful. And that all happens when we do one thing. When we say, I like me. When we think, I like me. When we think non-abandonment. We are abandoning ourselves when we say, I am sick. I am poor. I am sad. I am lonely. See, every time we do those silly things, what we are doing is we are going contrary to the highest good of our temple that we have here, of our mind, our brain, of our being. And as we go contrary to it, it's going to destroy us. It'll destroy us not because it is hurting us, but because it is leaving us. It is ceasing to work on our behalf. And it just lets us stumble bum along in our own limitation. But when we say, I like me, when we say, I am rich, when we say, I have all the things in the world that make me feel happy and contented, then what we're doing, we are being masters of ourselves. And that's what the school of the master is all about. To be the master of yourself, be yourself and have fun. To live in that consciousness of fulfillment. To live in a consciousness of abandonment is straight long death. You just pretty soon give up because why bother? If you're abandoned by everybody, but who are you abandoned by? You're abandoned by yourself. We abandon ourselves and then we blame the world for abandoning us. If we don't like ourselves, why should anybody in the world like us? If we don't like ourselves, we do not create people in the world liking us. We do not create circumstances in the world being harmonious with us. We do not do that. We only create who and what we are. Now, who are we? Are we beautiful beings? Would spirituality, that's your highest and your best, would spirituality want to be in your thought system? Would spirituality want to be in my thought system? Does it want to be with me? Does it want to be where I am? Am I the pure white-driven snow? Am I the beautiful one? Now, if you or I ever think of the past, then that's where we're living. And that's where we're experiencing. You remember when you were a little girl and you went into the chancellery at the church and you weren't allowed to go in and do the sacraments, so you did it yourself. And you gave it to the rest of the children. And the rest of the children said, why not? Why not? She can do anything she wants. She had confidence in herself. She believed in herself. She believed. She knew she wasn't a priest. She knew she wasn't the head of the church. But if anybody can do it, she can do it. If the church gives it to you so you can have this good experience, then we can give it to ourselves so we can have that good experience. And that's what you said, and that's what you did, and that's what you experienced. Now, why did you want to do that? Why did you? Who cares? You wanted to do it because it made you happy. It made you feel satisfied. It made you feel, hey, this is a good experience. So that's what it's all about. The wine doesn't taste very good, and the bread certainly is all dried up. It doesn't taste very good, the wafer, but you weren't concerned. You weren't concerned. You just played the game because that was the game. Now, are you ready to play the game of life of your spirituality? Are you ready to not have a movement, but to have what? Not have a movement, but to have what? I like me. To have a school, to have a training. You're training yourself to like yourself. You're training yourself to reveal the genius that's within you. You're training yourself to let open that inner reservoir of all genius, magic, goodness, all that you are. You're training that to open up and let go. Why are you doing that? Because that's your nature. Now, if you want to call it anything, you just call it my school, myself. I like me. I am here to be myself and have fun. What is yourself? Yourself is everything good, everything beautiful. Yourself is a dish of ice cream when you want it. Yourself is being able to levitate when you want it. Yourself is being able to manifest yourself wherever you choose to be. Yourself is to be all-knowing, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Where do you think those words came from? They came from the mind of man. They came from the divine in man. He wants to be those things, but even those things are not the whole cup of cake. It's not the whole cup of tea. That's only the beginning. Because you go here and here, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, all those things, and then you talk yourself out of those things because those are limitations too, and you move on and you move on. And when you move on, what do? Where do you move to? What do you move into? You move into the allness. You move into your spirituality. You move into not individual movies. You like yourself. Absolutely, fantastically, joyously, completely. There is nothing outside of yourself that you search for or would want to experience. Cool. And one of the major things, you do not abandon yourself. You do not abandon yourself by saying, I can't. You only confirm the fact that you can and you do. And as you can and as you do, with practice, you find it becomes easier and easier and easier, because this is your real nature. This is your divine nature. Spirituality can take care of itself. All we have to do is put our attention toward it, put our attention in it, put our attention on it, be it, live it, and enjoy it. Why is Rex happy? His world is just the way he likes it, just the way I created it, just the way I have it. And is he a good dog? You bet. Now, if he can be happy where he is with the consciousness he is, think where we can be with the consciousness we have. We are bliss now. We are loved now by the most important person in the world, and that is ourself. That is ourself. Love yourself. enjoy yourself, fulfill yourself with all the beauty and all the goodness and all the magic that the world has to give, because that's who you are right now. Have a good day.
Thank you.